Hugh Freeze speaks to the media, and he has a lot to say about essentially everything there is to do about the offense.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Friday. We made it through another week. Got a little warm. Got nice weather this week, too. So we're rebounding from the snow, and we got a lot of football stuff to talk about. Hugh Freeze goes to the Senior Bowl and meets with the media and answers a lot of the questions that I think a lot of us have about quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive line, all that good stuff. And we got a bunch of clips we're going to go through, so we want to dive in really quick. But before we do that, you got to give a shout-out to thebarnauburn.com. Take $25 off for 2025, your annual membership, and jump in the conversation, jump in the community. Have a lot of fun. A lot of this stuff we've talked about on there, on the barn, and a lot of stuff we talked about here. It's a great place to meet other Auburn fans and get some good information at the same time. So without further ado, let's jump into the first little clip where he talks about quarterbacks and see what he has to say.
And I think Jackson just, if you go back to, his high school days, you don't get to become the Gatorade Player of the Year without a great skill set. And when I see – the way he functions with the fundamentals of that position with what we want to do, it's a pretty natural fit. And, obviously the unknown is, why he didn't have the confidence. And I just am a firm believer I believe in him. I believe in our system and think he's a really good fit for it, and we can restore whatever confidence he may have lost, for whatever reason. It's not for me to say, but I know that our receivers are like, this is different. This ball is spinning the right way. They're saying that about both of them, Deuce and him. So believe in him, believe in Deuce. Deuce is, man, the maturity he's got is even after we recruited him, I still wasn't quite as aware. He's in there studying every day, and man, he doesn't want to wait around and to be great. He's trying hard now to pick up every drop of knowledge that he can. So excited about those two guys.
Yeah, so I've been saying as well, I feel like the tools that Jackson Arnold has really mesh with this system and what Hugh wants to do offensively. And he just confirmed it right there. I think he kind of does all the right things. He has the skill set. You don't become Gatorade Player of the Year without having, being the number one overall quarterback, without having a very wide skill set and being very skilled in general. So just coming in, kind of building that rapport with the wide receivers and doing the things that he's supposed to be doing. And wide receivers taking notice. Hey, this is balls jumping out a little bit different. Feels good. Feels confident, and that's what this part of the year is for, is building that confidence. And then talking about Deuce, just the maturity of, coming in and doing, again, not saying, okay, I know I got a couple years, so I'm just going to chill. I'm going to hang back. I'm going to go, party. I'm going to enjoy college life. No, he's coming to work. He's coming to work. They're watching film. They're studying. Those are all great things to hear. That's what you want to hear out of your brand new quarterbacks. That's what you want to hear when you're trying to rebound off of a maybe from a statistical perspective, it wasn't that bad, but from a record perspective, it was awful last year. So when you're trying to rebound from that and move forward and get better, these are the kind of things you want to hear out of your quarterback that you've sort of hitched your wagon to, that you're going to ride with to kind of turn things around. So good stuff about the quarterbacks. He also was asked about Ashton Daniels specifically and the luxury of having a guy that's been a 2-year starter at a Power 5 school. And here's what he had to say about Ashton Daniels.
Well, I wish I had him here this spring for sure, but we can't be, I mean, really excited about Ashton. You put the tape on, I mean, this guy can really, really run too. And I don't want to say this as a slap toward anyone, but he didn't have a lot around him, and he still produced significant yards. And I think he's going to come in with a mentality, and he's got, I mean, his knowledge of the game, his IQ is extremely high, and what a great kid and family he comes from. So I think we have three really, really talented guys.
Underrated to me, signing of this whole portal class is Ashton Daniels. I mean, legitimately, you got a two-year starter that's coming in to be a backup. He's so on board. Like, that's the cool thing about him. He's so on board. He's so, I'm in. So much so that he waited to announce his commitment, his signing in the portal until Jackson did his. He even waited until that happened. He just wants to be here, be closer to home, be a part of the system. And again, big athletic runner with a big arm. If heaven forbid someone get injured, you feel good that you can do something. You can build around him a little bit. He's got some tools to be a pretty good player. Most underrated signee of the whole portal period to me is Ashton Daniels. Just the value, the safety blanket, the comfort that you have with having him in that quarterback room. A question I know everybody wants to hear him answer is talking about portal wide receivers. You got Eric Singleton Jr., Horatio Fields, those guys that you've added. And then, you know, young guys like Perry mixing in with all of the other talented freshmen, talented upcoming sophomore wide receivers that you have. Man, you just possibly have one of the stronger wide receiver rooms in the SEC for sure, maybe in the country. So what did Hugh have to say about his portal wide receiver additions?
Yeah, I think you look at seeing on his track record at this level, the things that you can do with him, I think, make us very versatile. When you combine him with Jackson, I think you've got, you know, some really good options there. And he, boy, he can run. And I think you got now, you know, two of the faster guys I've ever coached, truthfully, and he and Malcolm. And, you know, that, and Eric's really smooth and he loves to work. And Horatio's got, man, great ball skills. And I don't know yet about his top end speed, but watching him, you know, work out with the team, with Coach Dom, love his length, love his physicality. And I think we've added two really good guys to a very talented room already. Perry's looked good also coming back. I think he's got a new renewed hunger.
I think one of the more interesting things about that clip to me is that he was asked specifically about the portal wide receivers, and he mentioned Perry there at the end. Perry seems to get forgotten a little bit because he didn't have as much, I guess, playing time as Malcolm and Cam last year. But I mean, he went out of his way to mention him when he was asked a question about the portal wide receivers. Look, this group is going to be, has the potential to be very electric. I mean, you heard Hugh say it right there with Malcolm and Eric. You got two of your possible, the fastest wide receivers he's ever coached at one time on the same team. You heard Philip Dukes say that they've already been running some races and some things like that. And Eric Singleton Jr. walks in and he's the fastest player on the team. So that's coupled with guys that you've seen run, to think that Eric Singleton Jr. is faster, that's very exciting. A lot of weapons. Hugh wants to throw the football. He wants to get the ball out to these playmakers. He wants to have multiple playmakers on the field at all times. And I think with this group, you finally have one of those wide receiver rooms that rivals that of what you saw at Ole Miss. When you talk about not only just from a talent, just overall talent. I mean, now you got some experience too. You got experience and talent that you can mix. There's a lot of good things that I think can come out of this this group. I think they're going to push each other. They're going to make each other better. Can't talk about how big that Eric Singleton Jr. Signing was to add to this group. And then I think Horatio Fields is another one that's vastly underrated. You heard Hugh talk about ball skills. It's what this one thing that I mentioned, catching in traffic and being able to catch is one thing, but having skills to go up and get the ball in the air, I think that's something that is, it's not really something that you can teach. It's just something you kind of got. You just got it. It's one of those things that there's no drills you can really do. You just either have it or you don't. And Horatio Fields, where he may not have the electrifying speed that some of these guys have, he's got the body and he's got the ball skills to be able to overcompensate for any, you know, quote unquote, lack of speed or explosion. That group, man, we talked about it yesterday. We talked about strengths. If you can just protect a little bit and make the right reads, you have a chance to be an absolute nightmare to defend on offense. So you can kind of see the confidence. You can hear and kind of feel the confidence Hugh has when he talks about his wide receivers. Obviously, if you're going to throw the ball, if you're going to catch the ball, somebody's got to be blocking for you. And then Hugh was asked about the offensive line and some of the additions. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, excited about the portal pickups for sure. And then the young kids that we recruited, and really excited that Tutal got another year. He really needed another year. And, you know, we've said that we wanted to redshirt my first year, and we just had too many injuries and we couldn't afford to, because he needs that extra year with Dom. And, gosh, he's played a lot of snaps for us and been very solid. And now you bring in two veteran tackles with him, along with the developing Tyler Johnson. I think we really have four quality bodies there that's a good problem to have. And, you know, we're going to mix and match and see one of them maybe can play inside too to help us. And, you know, of course, inside with Connor and Jeremiah and D-Wade now being able to move in there. And he's getting bigger and looks more like a SEC guard. And Braden coming back too has played significant minutes. And, you know, I think – and then add those young guys in there, we've got some good quality depth there.
Think about all the names he just mentioned. And just from the sheer numbers, that it feels like Auburn's finally getting to the point. You're digging yourself out of this hole of just essentially razor-thin offensive line depth from a body perspective and then from a talent perspective. It kind of feels like you've got multiple options. I thought it was very interesting that when he was asked about offensive line, he mentioned Tutal first. You know, Izavian Miller getting his extra year back, and what that affords them to be able to do is, I think he kind of tipped his hat a little bit that Mason Murphy may get a chance to look. You could possibly move him inside and have some just road grading big-bodied tackles and guards ready for SEC football, ready for SEC play. Again, you brought in a bunch of these young guys that are going to have time to develop. But, man, I think I think he feels this is really one of the first times in a long time where you feel like you finally have a – I don't want to say championship caliber, but maybe you got an offensive line that could push – at least from the offensive line. You got to execute everywhere else. But from a blocking, pass blocking, run blocking, you feel like you may have the tools to be able to, you know, I guess, fill those gaps of where you fell short at times last year. You'll be able to, hey, you know what, on third and long, we may be able to give them that extra half second to be able to find the open guy that was there, but you probably just couldn't get it to him because you couldn't block it last year. You know, that third and one, that fourth and one, where you feel like they know you got to run it. You got to run it. Maybe we got the guys now that we can push some people around. We got multiple guys that we can put in there to maybe push some people around. So just a lot of good stuff to talk, a lot of good stuff said about the offensive line. And it's good to hear Hugh's confidence there as well. Our boy Daryl Daprich asked a great question about the running backs, because we talked about running back by committee yesterday. Let's hear what Hugh has to say about that running back room and the challenge of getting everybody playing time?
I don't know the answer. That's always a challenge. The running back room is one that, particularly when you have talented kids, and you know, you look at Damari and Cobb the last couple of years, there's no question they've shown glimpses that they could have very good success running the football. But you had Jarquez that you wanted to get his 20 touches a game, and it's just before you know it, the game's over, and you didn't get the rotation in that you hoped. So that's very difficult, and it's hard. You'd love to say, because I do believe in all three of those guys, and then you know you throw Alvin in the mix, and hopefully we sign another one here shortly, and you know that's a good problem to have, but it certainly is an issue, because you know they won't touch us and they won't play. And but I do think at this level, everyone's going to carry five tailbacks, and it's you know, it's difficult to get all of them touches, but we do think that's a very talented and deep room.
First off, the discipline not to say Omar Mabson's name, like after he just committed like 2 days ago, that's crazy to me. You can't announce a kid's name until he signs. That's just, I can't believe when you're in the midst of talking about all the running backs that you're able to just not. I would be on probation all the time talking about recruits, because, man, it's just so it's fun to talk about. And then just remembering when you're already thinking about your plan, like you could tell he was going through everybody that he's got to get touches, and then you remember not to say the kid's name because he signs next week. I think that's funny. Look, we talk about what is a true position battle. What does that look like? Is it desirable? And how often do you actually get those? It feels like you're going to have a true position battle at running back this year. When, in other words, you're kind of going into it where maybe you've got a small idea of who could come out on top, but hey, you're going to go and let the best man win and then see where the chips fall. And you got three very talented, experienced running backs that do different things. And then, hey, once you kind of figure that out, how do you keep everybody happy? Once you kind of figure out who the guy is, or you figure out that rotation, how do you keep everybody happy after that? I can't imagine. It'd be absolute nightmare fuel to think about, oh, my gosh, I only got him two touches last week. He's going to leave. Like, we got to figure out how to get him more touches, and then maybe that affects your play calling. Maybe that affects your game planning. It's just so many dynamics to being a head coach now, but it's got to be one. This has to be one of them now. You know, before, where they didn't really have the option to go anywhere, and you know you could spend time with them for a little bit, but you know they got 2 years. You know they got 2 years, and then they're in. No, you got to be worried about it right now. You got to be trying to figure it out and put a plan together right now. And I can imagine that's a tough one. Kickers was a big cause for a lot of indigestion and acid reflux last year when it comes to punting and kicking, place kicking. Just everything that could go wrong went wrong last year. He was asked about the kickers, and here's what he had to say.
Well, I still believe in Alex. I mean, I still believe in Towns. And but, you know, we're prayerful and hopeful that Alex is going to be back too. You know, he's had the surgery, and the doctors feel like that was the best option. And there's no question he's feeling better. And so, you know, it'd be a good battle there for sure. And Ian's back too. So hopefully we have healthy bodies that will battle it out and see. And then excited, you know, about getting another punter in. And John McGuire is a very talented kid also. And so, you know, I think we're going to be solid again. But Oscar was really good. And so we'll see what happens there. But hopefully Towns is healthy again.
Love to hear. Still got the confidence in Towns, and obviously I do too. I think Towns is a really good kicker, kind of thrown into a weird situation that he wasn't really prepared for last year, and I don't think anybody was. I think you wanted him to be able to sit behind Alex, and it didn't happen. You know, Alex had his medical issues. It's very encouraging to hear that he's feeling better and maybe can be able to make a little bit of a turn here, because, man, he's a special, special kicker. If he can get back to full speed, he can get back his strength. That would be really great. And then just let Towns handle the place kicking, but you do bring in your Southern Miss kicker into the room that can help competition wise. So you got some things, you got some options. You got some things to look at on the kicker in the kicking game in general. You bring in your new special teams coach and, you know, Chad Lunsford. Let's see what he can do. Let's see how he can work this room and have these guys compete, and then just hopefully get better on special teams. Get back to where you were 2 years ago instead of, obviously, everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong this past season. Last thing we want to talk about, freshman playing time. Look, this person specifically was from Mobile and was asking about Antonio Coleman, but Hugh talks about just freshmen in general getting playing time. Let's see what he has to say.
I think expectations on these true freshmen are always difficult, and I tried to say that last year about our receivers, and it didn't stop it, you know, but they were right on most of it, but you know, we're going to need some of those young kids in the D-line to play. And, you know, you talk about Antonio and Jared and Malik and Jordan. You know, I think we signed, you know, Dorian, some really good, talented, true freshmen. You know, is it fair to ask them to play significant snaps? Malik Blockton played, you know, probably 25% of the snaps in games last year as a true freshman, did just fine. I think more than that's probably a stretch of an imagination to think you can do that. But you never know. I mean, they get in there and compete this spring and prove they know what to do and how to control gaps. And I'm sure Dirk and them will find a way to play them.
It feels good to not feel like you have to play true freshman. That seems like a big step. You're getting to the point where you don't necessarily feel like these guys, you have to throw these guys into the fire. You got some depth created, and you can afford to sort of just let them sit back and develop and watch, and then get them some playing time here or there. Of the freshman defensive linemen that are coming in, they're all very talented, obviously, but you got guys like Jared Smith, who's an edge. And then you got, you know, who wants to play. And then you got guys like Kieron Crawford, and you brought in Chris Kelly, who are both very talented. Like, where does he fit in that? Where does he fit in that rotation? And you got guys like Jordan Crawford and Malik Autry, who are more interior guys. Maybe you don't have quite as many bodies in front of them. So I think maybe it's more position driven as far as how these guys get in the game early than it is just overall talent. You may have the more talented guy that's playing behind more other talented guys. And then you may have somebody that is a little bit not quite as highly rated that may get a little bit of an easier pathway to playing time just because there's not a lot of folks in front of them. Regardless, you feel better about the fact that you don't necessarily have to play any of these guys, but they're all still very talented. And it's just those cornerstones, those trenches that it requires to build, to be able to compete in the SEC and to be able to compete for national titles. So a lot of good stuff. It's always good to hear from Hugh, especially when it's this weird time where they don't have anything to do with, they're not really doing anything other than meetings with players, no practice, no really anything other than workouts. It's good to hear a little progress report from the head man. So guys, I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to be back again Sunday night live. So make sure you tune in for that. Probably Dap will be back on, Zach, and we'll see if we got anybody else that wants to jump on and have some fun. No, not sure what we're going to talk about, but we'll find something fun to talk about, get mad about, laugh about. You know how it goes. So make sure you tune into that. I really appreciate another great week of shows. Guys, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back mostly every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.